Welcome back to another episode of Barely Legal in Web3. Today we're talking about innovation in fashion, art, and culture. I'm here with Bettina von Schilpe, who is founder of RSVP PR Lifestyle Agency and also publisher of Vogue Singapore. Bettina, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Such a pleasure to have you here. Can you please tell us a bit about who you are and what you do?
As you mentioned, I am an entrepreneur by heart, and I have built my businesses in different emerging markets. And I had the pleasure to be part of the Vogue family since 1997. So being in different markets, having the opportunity to launch Vogue in Russia, being part of the team, then building my own business, and now at the end of my career, having the chance to bring Vogue Singapore to life.
That's amazing. And just so you know, I am such a fan of Vogue, and particularly Vogue Singapore, having lived here for a while and familiar with it. You know, this is Barely Legal in Web3, and we talk about technology and innovation. And I'd like to kind of understand how Vogue Singapore is using technology and innovation to sort of revamp and change the narrative on publishing.
The story is, of course, for Vogue in general, is over 130 years of storytelling. But as I mentioned, we have launched Vogue here in Singapore only 4 years ago. And you remember there was a little thing called COVID. And obviously, having to launch a product that is print-led and obviously as well as something which needs an audience where you connect in real life, this very moment made us think completely differently, conceptualize Vogue in a different way. And thanks to technology, we had the opportunity to reach out to over 13 million people during COVID. And I'm probably the only publisher in the world, and I hope I will be the only one, that launched Vogue from home.
Wow, that's amazing. And so COVID really sort of pushed you into the innovation and kind of forced you to rethink and think about how you can use technology to reach new audiences. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it was, at the beginning, we've been all, you know, scratching our heads, and we thought, like, first of all, do we need another Vogue in the circumstances we've been in 2020? I remember when we got the license in 2019, and then in March, we've been in lockdown. So it was, of course, like a very different sentiment. But through technology and through the positioning of Vogue Singapore at the intersection of fashion and technology, I think we have a very unique voice within the Vogue family, but as well here in Southeast Asia. It made us push really outside the classical parameters and thinking out of the box, because we had no other option. There was no way of creating content in the classical way, just having editors printing, you know, articles. We really had to use all the technology available. We have done shoots over Zoom calls. We have used CGI, everything that was possible just to create this very first issue. And with this, it was so wonderful to see how the team was, you know, absorbing all these new opportunities. And it is, for a creative person, a toolbox. It's almost like a box with all the chocolates that you want, and you start using and take a bite here and there, and then you really get the taste of it, and then the creative ideas are just flowing. So we've been actually very lucky to be in this very unprecedented circumstances that pushed us and that made us think and design this project so very different.
Isn't that wonderful how sometimes it's these circumstances that are challenging that actually create an opportunity for us to learn more, discover more, create something different? And, you know, being in this space of a traditional industry, you've had a chance to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe the essence remains the same. So it's the quality journalism. It's just the way how you report. It's the way how you use certain tools. And how do you engage your audience? And that's, of course, very exciting because it's beyond the paper. It's beyond the physical. It's a much more immersive product that really makes you almost feel and be part of the story than just being, you know, there's a clear separation print to the reader. And that's, of course, exciting.
That's very exciting. And you've mentioned this idea of having a unique voice and bringing the reader into the story. Can you talk a little bit how you have potentially, you know, democratized fashion and art and culture and made it something where people do see themselves reflected in that with technology?
Definitely we see, but this is not something specific for Vogue Singapore. I think we see in general, like the wish to more accessibility and making fashion, you know, a bigger conversation. So not being too narrow and only for the elite, but giving accessibility. And with technology, this is, of course, easy to do. So not only in terms of reach, but as well, as I said, like the ways how we apply these stories and how we tell these stories in a completely different way. And democratization, you know, it is important for us because I believe it's something very essential, right? So the art of dressing or getting dressed, there are clothes so that you just keep warm and that you are protected. But then there is a very important element to it, which of course is your own self-expression. And self-expression cannot be just for an elite. It needs to be for everyone available. And therefore, with the innovation coming on top, we suddenly see different formats of digital fashion, for example. And with digital fashion, you get into a conversation that is completely different because you have, for example, your avatar, your digital me, that you are then suddenly start to dress. I don't know, you remember maybe the times of the Zoom calls where we've been all, you know, dressed here. And we had some...
From the bottom down.
Exactly. And now being connected all over the world globally with the help of technology, fashion has another function. And if I want to be represented with my avatar, so I want my avatar to be dressed and represent myself in a different way, right? So there is a new layer of expression, and I think it is wonderful to see that this is that that's available for a much bigger group.
That really resonates with me. I mean, I can tell you that as someone who is in the corporate legal setting and environment, we are encouraged, or at least years ago, and I think it's getting a little bit better now, but we're encouraged dark suits, white shirt, right? Black shoes. There's sort of like a first-year associate or even just your regular corporate lawyer starter pack in terms of fashion. And it really stifles the expression and it stifles the identity of who you are. And I can tell you, you know, coming out of the legal practice and coming into what I do now, it's been a very tough sort of shell to shake off. You really have to try to shake it off. And I think, you know, using technology to help people express themselves that way is a great start.
It is. And when we speak about digital fashion, there is so much room for experimentation, right? So we can do try-ons. We can be anyone in the digital world in terms of fashion. So you can get completely crazy. You can have, you know, I don't know, wings or whatever you love to do. So I think there is a point to it, what you said, like different profession require different, so to say, attires. And I totally get as well. I come from a corporate background myself and been through years and years of a clear, you know, pattern of what you have to wear at what kind of occasions. And sometimes it's good because you want to draw the attention not to yourself but to content and to the message that you have. However, learning how to, you know, combine these two, and because you don't want the attention to go away from your message just to the outfit. And we see a lot of, you know, discussions that we have sometimes when someone comes for styling, that they say, oh, I have this a TED talk, or so what should I wear, and how do I manage this, you know? This is as well, like, your clothes are part of a different language, and you need to be very, very aligned with what you want to say, the content, and how you look, and how do you meld these two things together.
Wow, I should have had you as a stylist before the show.
No, not now. She looks fabulous. She does, absolutely.
Talking about unique voices and this idea of bringing other people in, you know, part of the mission of Web3, at least initially, this sort of culture is around helping marginalized groups and, you know, people who normally wouldn't have a voice to participate in conversations or to show their work. I understand Vogue Foundation is doing a lot in that realm. Can you talk a little bit about some of those initiatives?
Absolutely. Vogue Foundation is very close to my heart. And as I said, it's probably as well product of the initial positioning of Vogue Singapore, because there was so much talk about change and what has to, how can we impact on the industry, especially during our launch period. Because it was all the question about what is essential and what is not essential. And non-essential seemed to be everyone and everything that is in the creative sphere, which was for me, I mean, not, I'm not naive, so I knew that, you know, if things are getting tough, of course, you know, a doctor is more important than maybe an artist in different moments. However, culture and art and beauty is part of what we need to be sane, to have a clear mindset, to things that make us drive and that make us, you know, motivated. So this is such an important and, for me, essential part of our human being kind of situation, then I would say, like, we have to make sure that with a structure that we are building from day one, that we can support these businesses and these creatives that need the support and not fall off, you know, down in the conversation immediately when the critical situations appear in. For example, like a pandemic. So we've seen a lot of creatives that lost their work. They experimented with Web3 because that was, for most of them, really a chance to, yeah, find new streams of revenues, to build new creative languages in their very specific way. And I was fascinated by exploring Web3 and being in these conversations where I saw that the people gathered in these Twitter spaces, etc., really wanted to make a change, a very big impact in how, you know, we need to move forward. And being in a traditional business, for me it was important to see how can we build structures that are supporting these kind of visions and giving them at least a platform to express themselves and to share their messages. And this is what we have been doing with Vogue Foundation. Besides, you know, obviously the support, we have two initiatives, which is a talent prize and an innovation prize. But maybe we will speak about this.
I'd love to hear it. You know, just kind of piggybacking on what you're saying is that There are a whole host of different groups of people who have traditionally been left out of certain conversations and have not really had access to have their voice heard. And so that work in showcasing certain talents is certainly, you know, important. I mean, I myself, I have a niece back home, and she is practicing art. And she's doing really well in terms of her deliverables and how they look and how she's communicating her feelings and just her creativity. And it's taken a lot of popularity. People have, you know, drawn an interest to it.
Mm.
And so giving someone like that who is, you know, otherwise wouldn't really have, you know, the support or backing or community behind them, giving them a chance to kind of showcase that, I think it's important. And I'd love to hear more about the Talent and Innovation Program.
Yeah, so the Innovation Program was always designed to help startups in the field of innovation. So these are companies who have a solution to a real-world problem. And we are having an open call every year where we invite everyone who has like a interesting project that they want to share with us. There is a certain, you know, application form to it, and sustainability is one of the most important milestones in this whole journey. So for us, it's important to have a startup that thinks sustainable and creates sustainable. And if you are one of these, then you're absolutely a candidate for the Innovation Prize. Then we select the best 10 from all the applications, and then they go through a full program of mentorship with experts from the Vogue network. And then, of course, there's an international jury where they have to present their pitches. And at the end, there is one winner who gets a $15,000 prize for, you know, as a startup opportunity, and of course the opportunity to be featured in Vogue and leverage on our network and our connections. And we have beautiful winners the last 3 years. I'm very proud of them. We had Claudia Paul. She's representing design for disabilities and people with problems, you know, like being mobility problems. And there is nothing in the market which looks like design and fashion. To be honest, these clothes are, yes, they have to be functional, but why do they have to be so ugly? Yes. And she really nailed it. It was beautiful to see, very classical, sophisticated, cool, functional, but as well design. So that was our first winner. The second winner was Project X, lab-grown exotic skin. So you don't have to kill any animal anymore, but you can still have your exotic skin back. So as well, wonderful initiative. And very excited about our last year's winner, Cotera, which is CO2 absorbing textile. So three of these t-shirts have the capacity to absorb CO2 from the air, like a tree, like a full tree. So there's a problem, there's a solution, and these companies are part of really making a change, thinking differently. Their business models are differently built, and I'm so happy to be part of their journey and hopefully, you know, helping them on their way to be successful.
As I listen to you and I think about the creative process and I think about the entrepreneurial journey, I think there are so many overlaps in sort of this process of identifying the problem, finding a solution, and then expressing what that solution should be. And I think, you know, in terms of our listeners, we have a lot of listeners and watchers who are entrepreneurs, and they need to tap into their creative process. They need to tap into that creative side. Can you give us maybe three of your top sort of tips or, you know, hints in terms of how to tap into that creative process? Because for entrepreneurs, and particularly in the Web3 space, it's so new, it's so emerging, that there's so much you can do, but I think it really has to go and start with finding the problem, identifying the problem, and then finding a solution. So maybe you can tell us a bit about creativity in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, we had, you know, there have been a lot of moments since we launched where we thought like, okay, there is, for example, the moment of or difficulty with returns that we see. the wastefulness in our industry, etc. So a massive amount of problems that we identified and where we hardly can find, the right solution. However, for all the entrepreneurs, I think it's always a question to yourself, what do you really want to achieve, right? What is your vision? What is your goal? And this sounds like maybe banal, but it's not, because at the end of the day, it is really not to lose sight and to be open for experimentation and be open besides the, you know, the P&L that you have to follow and besides all the entrepreneurial, groundwork, to give yourself the space where you have a conversation which is purpose-driven. And it's not easy because it's the day-to-day and, you have to, there are all these operational issues that you have to solve every day. But the drive is different and the motivation is different if you see a purpose. In our case, my purpose was really to drive change for good and to build for myself with Vogue, which has a legacy and such a great image. This is such a responsibility for me. So I thought, I'm given this wonderful product. So what can I do with my team to really create something that will have an influence for this industry, not only today, but tomorrow, for the next generation? And as an entrepreneur, you have to ask yourself every day, is it just about the money or is it as well about what do you want to create in terms of your own legacy? And if you have the freedom and if you have your own business, then I guess that's a very individual question, but a question that everyone should ask themselves.
Finding your purpose is so key. It's so key. And there's so much hot money floating around, emerging technology, that it is very easy to lose your purpose. It's very easy to just take what's available and build and run, and that's it.
Clearly.
But then you lose your way. And as we've saw with Sam Bankman-Fried, who was recently, sentenced for 25 years, you lose yourself as well. And so I think that's really great advice for people who are listening.
Yeah, so innovating is not easy. I always say, success is not final, but failure is not, it's not an issue. So it's failure is as well, not something that you should be worried about. Failure actually makes you better and you learn a lot from failure. And if you have the opportunity to experiment, do it and don't lose your vision and continue just believing in yourself. You will hear a lot of voices left and right, expectations are high, the way how you should do things and deliver might not be your way of doing it. And but if you take consciously like the decision of, yes, maybe you will be not the richest person in the room, but you will be the happiest because you do exactly what you want to do, then I think you have achieved your purpose and your goal.
Did you feel as though bringing technology and innovation to the traditional essence of Vogue Singapore was a risk? And did you feel at that point, oh my gosh, I'm doing this?
Yes, and I think it was not only for me, it was for the entire team. So when we just look at the covers, there is a lot of risk taking, I can tell you. So September issue, the famous September issue, which normally would always highlight a supermodel, an actor, latest in fashion. And in 2021, we got this beautiful initiative, New Beginnings, that was a call from New York. Anna Wintour said, every edition is going to find their own story about what is New Beginning for them. And ours was a QR code.
Oh, wow.
And obviously, this is not what you would expect from a classical Vogue. But the story behind is very, very beautiful and speaks about the power of technology, innovation, and collaborations. And this very turning point where we saw Web3 is evolving. There is a new form of storytelling. There's a new aesthetic we've been not used to at all. You know, these digital artworks, the digital fashion was so, so, so different to what you would, expect from a classical design. So the idea was to present an NFT collection with established designers and a collaboration with Web3 designers. And for each section of the book, we had collaborations where they designed together NFT collections, beauty, lifestyle, and fashion. And you could access through this QR code here, you could access the website where you actually had all the NFT collections presented. And it was as well like an upside down for me, like print stepped back in a way that the importance of the print was taken away and changed into the real cover was actually the NFT. So that was a conversation even between the different formats. And therefore, I think that was a very strong statement. And since then, we've been experimenting with technology and how can we bring our covers alive? How can we make them a collectible as well? So one of the last ones is a NFC chip included. And when you tap here with your phone, so it's not like a QR code, when you tap with your phone, it releases a poem. And
oh, really?
These voices, so actually this one is talking to you.
Oh, wow.
Which is as well
that
like a different.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, very different story. And the
this
last
is my
one,
favorite.
Oh, the last
this
one?
This is my favorite, yeah.
Yeah, roots. So in terms of innovation, mm-hmm. if you want to innovate, you need to know the roots and you need to understand where you're coming from before you change things, right? So that was the first issue of our new editor-in-chief, Desmond Lim. And he said, like, okay, let me go to the back to the archives. Mm-hmm. Let me see what kind of fashion do we see in the streets in the 1900s. And he, together with an Indian AI designer, he fed like a machine, like the AI, with over 1,800 images, archive images. And then we created three covers with AI models representing the different ethnical backgrounds here in Southeast Asia. And that was before ChatGPT and all the discussions where it actually started to be a more popular and more approachable technology where now everyone is obviously testing ChatGPT and AI.
Right. So you're using actually the technology in the creation of
Absolutely.
This as well. And so it's, you know, it's so multifaceted. You have the delivery through either NFT or NFC. You have the usage of the technology in the creation of the art and the presentation. And of course, the content and the substances around it as well. But I'm kind of thinking about what you said earlier about the outfit that you wear, how, you know, you're delivering a message when you wear a certain outfit that is a communication. And I think this change in, you know, how people are getting the content and how you're creating art and digital art is also a message. It's a conversation. It's mm-hmm. a conversation through a different medium. And also for different generations, potentially, you know, the younger generation that's coming up that feel as though I want to be part of something in a different kind of way. And they want that dialogue, that back and forth. They want to be engaged. They want to be inspired. They want to have input. They want to create with you. And so I think this is just really cool the way that you're bringing this about. And community building is a huge tenet in Web3. So maybe you can talk a little bit about the community that's coming around?
Yeah, it is essential. And I think it's fascinating to see that communication has so dramatically changed where we started many, many, many years ago. So I remember my time in Russia where it was only one, you know, it was literally a one direction. So that's the classical web one, you very static, then web two with already social media where we finally got kind of user-generated content where we had a dialogue with the audience. And now with web three, fascinating. It's just brand building starts at a completely different, with different parameters and with different formats. So how did you build a brand 20 years ago? There was someone having an idea, going out there and saying like, this is my proposal. You do your brand and you put it out there in the market. Now, these new Web3 and innovation brands, they do it completely differently. So they ask their community. They go to the audience and they say like, do you really like this and this? Would you consider, you know, buying or be part of this product? And we had a fantastic, really fantastic case during our Next in Vogue project last year. Kiki World, she was part of our innovation prize. And she didn't win, unfortunately, but she won our hearts. And we invited her to present her product during the event. And how this team is building beauty products from a completely different mindset. So it's all about community. It's community-led. They are almost, you know, only the facilitators of bringing the voice of the community together and then building the products that they already committed to buy. So less waste, really commitment. You get the product that the community wants. It makes a lot of sense. Right. And it's quite impressive to see how this has changed in one generation.
It's amazing. And I think it's also very interesting to me that someone who is not in the traditional technology space, that you were able to pick up on the importance of community. Because for Web3, for those who are on crypto Twitter, I mean, that's all that's really important. It's really having the voices of your community, of your Discord, maybe voting and, you know, all of the tenets of Web3 to really have that vote to create something. So congratulations on that, because that's really not easy to pick up on.
Yeah, I think for Vogue specific, again, besides the editorial and the foundation, we have established our own Vogue Club, which is our very own community of people who love fashion, who want to experience fashion in different ways. And I really wanted them to be part of my story and part of our story, not only mine, of course, Vogue story here in Singapore, because you want them to really have a voice. Interestingly enough, we see that this is different with different generations, different, obviously response. But whenever you're a Club Vogue member, 25% of your club membership goes back to the foundation. That means like automatically when you are part of our club system, you are supporting other creatives. And this gives you, you know, hopefully as well, the satisfaction of being part of a bigger economy for creatives and supporting them, and besides giving them experiences that they would not have otherwise, we very much hope that we are building a mindset that is different and that these people who are our Club Vogue members share values that are very, very important for us, which are diversity, sustainability, you know, being conscious about consumption, being smart of what you buy, how you buy. All of these things matter. There might be, you know, on one hand, just marketing talk, but you need to build these platforms and these structures to make it not just a theoretical phrase, but really bring it into action.
I mean, you've really done a great job of bringing out those things and highlighting it, and in a somewhat disruptive way, right? It's somewhat disruptive way, but it's great. And, you know, you've used technology to create the art and as a channel. We have AI that is becoming increasingly popular. For the future, for Vogue Singapore, what is on the horizon? What do you see in the future? And what really are your aspirations for Vogue Singapore and technology?
I see a great and very positive future for us. I feel there is a need for us in the market to have this voice which combines the creative part, the technology part. And in a way, you know, people are very cautious, and they are very, the moment you tell them to think in different ways, change is always something that not everyone is embracing, as we know. So helping them to understand that change is actually positive and not negative, and that it come in very nice packaging and in very nice experiences is part of our journey and for the future. I think there's so much more fantastic technology to come. We look into AI, we look into interoperability, which we see, thankfully, knock on wood, we will see more of this happening. And then, again, there will be a big increase of, I would say, even belief that that Web3 will function, because at this moment we have a lot of conversations that this is difficult and no one wants to go into Web3. But it will come. It will come. We need a little bit of patience. We see Apple Pro Vision. Definitely will change the world and how we tell stories. So we stay excited. I stay very much in the loop with my team, and we hope, to keep on the storytelling in a very compelling way.
Thank you so much for your time today. This is truly inspiring. I think that many business owners and then also creatives and even lawyers, everyone will be able to take away a bit of information, a bit of inspiration from this, and hopefully touch their inner creativity and apply that to whatever they do. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.